Good morning. The scripture reading this morning will be from the book of Psalm 46. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Thank you, Gus. Good morning, everybody. Keep your Bibles in your laps and open to this scripture. We are going to conclude our series today. It's been a short series called Discovering Our Theology at Midnight. And we're going to do a little review, but we're also going to apply what we've learned to a particular area, and that's our families and our marriages. I wanted us to cover the first three messages in the series before we even talked about family and marriage. But it applies very well, so that's how we're going to conclude by talking about that. If you would pray with me, we'll get started. Our Father, we give you praise for the opportunity to worship you. It's been good, Lord. It's been good to sing these songs about you, to honor you through them, to be reminded of our need to honor you, to surrender to you, to worship you, to follow you. And Father, many of us desire that with all our hearts. And Lord, we know that following you doesn't mean that life is easy. It doesn't mean that trouble doesn't come. But Father, we're so glad that at those midnight times in our lives, you're there. And you can be trusted. And so remind us of that again today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The first Sunday in this series, we talked about trouble in the presence of Jesus. We looked at the disciples almost dying during a storm on the Sea of Galilee when Jesus was right there with them. We talked about how sometimes as Christians we get this idea that the presence of Jesus in our lives will keep us from trouble. And that's just not true. Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble, even when he's with us. And so that was just a basic introduction to this series, that we are going to have trouble even in the presence of Jesus. But remember, the presence of Jesus is there with us in the trouble. We have trouble in his presence, but his presence is there in the trouble. And that's the wonderful thing. And the disciples learned that in that narrative. So that's what we looked at the first week. And we talked about this theme, how, you know, we can have our theology all set and in order in our minds. We know what we believe. Some of us have been learning it from being little boys and girls. But when we go through those midnight times in our lives, those times of suffering and struggle and hardship, that's when we discover how much of that theology has really become part of us. How much of it we really, truly believe in our hearts. Because that's when we need to be practicing it. What we believe about God, who He is, and what He is capable of doing. So that's been kind of the idea of this series. The second week, we talked about this monster that you and I create. God doesn't create this monster. The devil doesn't create this monster. He's not a creator. We create this monster, and it's anxiety, it's worry. And we looked at Jesus' teaching in Matthew about anxiety and worry. And we talked about what a monster that is. And when we allow that to become part of our thinking, part of our experience in these times of hardship and suffering at midnight, it causes all kinds of problems. All kinds of problems. And thank you for the many of you who gave feedback on that message. I found out we have a congregation full of worriers and anxious people. Welcome to the club. We know what that's like, don't we? We know what this monster of anxiety can do. And we know what worry can do. And so we just talked about what Jesus taught concerning how we can deal with that and how we can see the anxiety and the worry overcome in our lives. And then last week we talked about this concept of wrestling and embracing. And we talked about how when we are in these midnight times in our lives, we're suffering, things are hard, it's difficult, we tend to find ourselves wrestling with God. And we wrestle with the things we believe about God. We have questions about those things. We might even entertain some doubts about those things. But it happens to all of us, right? It happens to all of us. We find ourselves wrestling with what we believe concerning God and what's true of Him. And we went through some of those questions and doubts last week. You'll have to go listen to it because I'm not going to go back through it. But then we talked about how even though it's okay if you're honestly and sincerely and respectfully wrestling with God and these beliefs, that eventually the pattern in Scripture of God's people was after wrestling in a hard situation, they always came around to embracing. Job, David, Paul, Habakkuk, we can go on and on. They wrestled in their hard time, but they eventually came around to embracing the God they were wrestling with and embracing the very beliefs they were wrestling with. You know, they start out wrestling with this idea, is God in control? It doesn't seem like He's in control. And yet they come around to embracing His control. We wrestle with, can I trust God in this? Does He really have a plan? It doesn't look like it. But we end up embracing our belief that He has a plan. And He knows what He's doing. And we talked about that. For all of us, we wrestle and we embrace. We don't want to get stuck in the wrestling. We want to end up in the embracing of our theology, what we believe about God. So, today we're going to talk about those things in the context of what I would call family storms. We're going to get right down to the family and marriage, our homes, okay? And right now in your mind and in your heart, you're going to have to deal with that in the sense that when you find out we're going to talk about family and marriage, you could very easily shut down. Because you don't want to think about your family right now. You don't want to think about your marriage right now. You don't want your pastor telling you what to do about what's going on in your home or what you're experiencing. And so I know there's a tendency when you find out we're going to talk about family, marriage, home, that you would turn the volume down, shut down. And you don't want to hear this. If that's you, Don't listen to this story I'm going to tell you, but deal with that with God, okay? So by the time I'm done with the story, you're ready to listen, okay? Friday night, Janine and I were at my parents' farm. Had to go do some business on Friday, and instead of driving all the way home, we just stayed out at the farm. Of course, the farm, there's a lot of stuff missing now. We've taken a lot of stuff out of there. So we did the retro thing on Friday night. We sat in the living room for 3 hours and listened to the Twins game on a radio. Do you remember radios? The TVs are gone from the farm. And I wanted to get in on the Twins game. And I went from radio to radio to radio and couldn't pick up anything. Finally found this little transistor thing. Remember those? And it worked. And so we sat there for 3 hours just listening to the Twins game. It was wonderful. But during the game, I would guess maybe 4 times, you'd hear this, you know what that is? There's going to be a warning that's coming. And they would go away from the Twins game, and there would be this electronic voice that would give a warning about a storm that was coming from North Dakota. And it was traveling northeast. And it would go into describing the storm. Heavy winds, hail, the size of golf balls, I think, or ping pong balls or something, they said. They just described the storm that was coming. And then they warned about the danger, said that this was going to be a destructive storm, it would damage vehicles, it would harm people if you're out in it. So they said, get to shelter. And then eventually they said, you know, at 8:15 it was here, they named the town, and it will be at this place at 8:37. And they were naming towns that were like 40 or 50 miles south of us, and it was heading northeast, so it was going to miss us. But 4 different times it came on, interrupting the Twins game, to warn us about this storm. And the last thing they said was, if you're in your home, gather your family together, and together go to the lowest level of your home for safety. Okay? Now, my question is, if you were in that area around Crookston, Ada, those towns, and you heard that warning about a storm that was destructive, would you have believed the warning? What that voice was saying on the radio. Would you have followed the instructions? I think many of you would. I would have. I would have done the man thing, and I would have made sure my wife and children were safe. And I would have done what they said. We would get together and we would go to the lowest level and do whatever they said. You mothers, you would have been very protective. And you would have made sure that all the little ones were gathered together in that place of safety. And you kids would probably have done what mom and dad told you to do. Because you heard the warning too. And this is a time to be together as a family. To survive. There are other kinds of storms that come to our homes. Some of them we have warnings about ahead of time. Some of them we don't get warnings. But we experience family storms. And they take all kinds of forms. All kinds of shapes. It can be physical. It can be health issues. It can be physical pain, sickness. It comes to our homes. And it's difficult. It's hard. It's one of those midnight experiences for us as a family. It might be marriage storms, and it could be anything in your marriage relationship that's causing difficulty and has become a storm in your life as a husband and a wife. It could be things going on relationally between parents and the children in the home. Really difficult things, rebellion, other things that have caused real tension and conflict between parents and children. And there's a storm in the home going on. It could be financial. I mean, we all sometimes have a financial storm, right? And it can be really difficult for a family. There are times of loss, tragic loss of possessions, tragic loss of life, tragic loss of health. All kinds of things can come to our homes and could be called storms. The question is, at those times, are we willing to come together, huddle together, protect one another, be safe as a family? I'm afraid we don't do as well with those storms as we would a thunderstorm, a hailstorm, a windstorm. And that's unfortunate. So what I want to talk about is that whole idea of storms that come to the family. And you might be in the middle of one right now, and it is bad. All right, you're in the middle of a storm in your marriage, in your home. Maybe a storm is brewing. You can just tell it. You can feel it. It's on its way. But you just know something's coming. There's signs. Something's happening in your home. It's not going to be good. Hopefully God can use what we're going to think about this morning. I'm going to eventually share with you one scripture, which isn't about families necessarily, but I want to apply it to the storms that come to our homes. Then we're going to go back to Psalm 46 that Gus read for us and just apply some things there. And then we'll wrap up this series. All right? So, here's the first question. What is your theology of marriage and family? Now, theology, of course, that we've been talking about has to do with God, God words, what we believe about God, what's true of God, who He is, what He does, what He's capable of doing. That's our theology. So here's my question. What is your theology about marriage and family? What do you believe about God in connection with marriage, in connection with family? Marriage. Do you believe that God is the creator of the male and the female? Do you believe that God is the creator of the whole idea of marriage? Do you believe that God is the one who brings men and women together in marriage to become one flesh? Do you believe He is the one that joins a man and a woman together, like Jesus said? Do you believe that God has a plan for every marriage? Do you believe that God has a design for marriage? He has a design. It's right there. The husband's role, the wife's role. Do you believe that God is to be part of this three-way covenant in marriage? Do you believe that when you were married, before witnesses, you invited God to be part of that covenant? He said the words anyway. Do you believe those things? Is that part of your theology of marriage? What's your theology of family? Do you believe that your children are gifts from the Lord? Like the psalmist said, that they are truly from God? Do you believe that God has given you and entrusted you with those children to raise them? Do you believe that God has given you the instructions as to how to raise them? He has a design for how you're to raise them. And the way it's worded in Scripture is in the Lord. We're to train and to instruct in the Lord. What is your theology of marriage and family? The part God plays, the role God has in those relationships, in your home. Here's the second question. What have you discovered about those beliefs? Your theology of marriage and family, when your marriage or your family goes through the midnight experiences, when the storms come, when there's hardship, when there's crisis, when there's tragedy, when there's difficulty, when there's trouble in your home, What have you discovered about the things you say you believe concerning God and your marriage, concerning God and your family? You see, that's when we find out what our theology really is. If it has really taken hold of our hearts. Because if it has, those are the things we'll practice when those storms come to our marriage, when they come to our family. Look at Psalm 46 again. As Gus was reading this, you probably noticed there's theology in this. There's teaching about God, who He is, and about what God does and what He's capable of doing. There's theology here. Let me point some of it out to you. Verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength. That's a theological statement because it's stating something about God. Is that part of your theology? Do you believe that about God, that He is your refuge, safe place? Place to run to. Do you believe He is your strength when you are weak? When you don't know what to do? Do you believe He's your refuge and your strength? Then it goes on to say, He is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. In your Bibles, if you write in your Bibles, and it's okay to do that, I've circled the word in. It says in trouble. And I've drawn an arrow up to some space and I wrote the words not from. It says God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Not from trouble. Remember, we learned that at the first message. We have trouble in the very presence of God. God being a part of our life doesn't immune us from trouble. But this says, the theology says, God is an ever-present help in, right in the midst of the trouble. Is that part of your theology? Of course it is if you're not going through any trouble. I'm asking, is it your theology when you're in the midst of trouble? That God is an ever-present help, right here and now. That's theology, isn't it? If you jump down to verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. That's theology. That's the truth about God. Is that part of your theology, that the Lord Almighty is with you? He's present no matter what's going on? It's repeated again in verse 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. He's Almighty and He's with us. That's theology. Is it your belief? At midnight, when things are hard, is that what you believe? God's presence. He's there. He's a help. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. If you do, the psalmist says there's a couple things that will proceed from that theology. Notice, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, no matter what happens, is really what he goes on to say. Though this happens or this happens or this happens. But he's saying because that's our theology, because we believe that about God, He's our refuge, our strength, the very present help in trouble, we will not fear. You see, if that theology is really part of you, no matter what happens, we will not fear. Why not? God is my refuge. God is my strength. God is an ever-present help in the trouble. We won't fear, no matter what happens. Verse 10, something else that we will do, or I guess in this case, not do, if this is our theology in times of trouble. Verse 10 says, in my Bible, be still and know that I am God. I liked what Gus read because I think it's more accurate. It's cease striving and know that I am God. Not you. I am God. So cease striving. Stop trying to control the situation. Stop trying to fix it yourself. Calm down. Cease striving. Be still and know I'm God. I'm in control. Now, we like that and we believe that sitting here in the comfort of this building. Do you believe that, and are you willing to practice that when you get back home in the midst of the storm that's going on in your marriage and in your family? That's when you find out if this is really your theology. Okay. So that's the idea I want to get across to you today as you go from here. And I'm not going to let you go from here yet, so you know we're not done. But that's what I want you to get. We have learned things. We believe things about God. We have a theology. We really discover how much of it really is part of our beliefs when our family goes through storms, whether it's in our marriage or in the family as a whole. Then we find out what we really believe about God, because we'll start practicing it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. The summer quarter begins next Sunday in our Sunday school time, and there'll be two adult classes, so here's your little promo. One of the classes will continue the Gospel Project. I believe that it'll be going through the Kings period, when Israel had kings, so that's where that class will be this summer. The other class will be the 39 Below class. So if you fit that, you can be part of that class. Or you can go to the other one. But I heard this morning that the 39 Below class is going to be looking at Matthew 5 to 7, the Sermon on the Mount, the teachings that Jesus gave there. So I'm going to let you in on the ending of it. All right? Matthew 7, starting in verse 24. And we always thought this was a song that somebody made up in Sunday school, but it's really from Scripture. And Jesus said these words. He said, therefore, he's just done all this teaching. We call the Sermon on the Mount, all kinds of subjects, all kinds of stuff that he's been teaching in 5 through 7. Then he finishes by saying, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, all these teachings I've just given, and puts them into practice, it's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the storms rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine, what I just taught you, and does not put them into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. What's Jesus saying here? He's basically saying, from my understanding, I've just taught you all these things about all kinds of things in life. Whoever upon hearing these things goes and practices them, lives them out, applies them, is wise. Is wise like the man who wisely builds his house on a firm foundation, the rock, solid. Why is that man wise? Because when the storms come, the house will stand firm. And so what he's saying is, if you hear the words I've taught and you begin to apply them in your lives and practice them, that's wise. And storms are going to come. Tough things are going to come. But if you're practicing and applying the things I've taught you, it's going to give you strength, a foundation. You're going to be able to stand through those things, those storms, whatever they are. Why? Because you're living out what I taught you. But if after hearing everything I taught you, you go your way and you live the way you want and you don't apply any of this and none of this becomes part of your life, then storms are going to come into your life like they will anybody else's life. And your life is going to crumble. It's going to crash. Because there won't be anything solid there. So it's the importance here of not just hearing the teaching, but applying it. It's the difference between believing things about God, your theology, and then whether or not it has become such a part of you, you apply it at midnight when the storms come and the troubles come. How do I apply that to families? Well, you notice on your sheet just three things. I think we can say there are sand homes. There are homes, and I'm sure there are homes represented here. Sand homes. These are homes. They know what God teaches. They know what the Bible says about a lot of things, about marriage, about family, about life in general. They know those things. They have this theology. They know things about God. They believe those things. But then they don't practice them. They don't live them out. And when those family storms come then, they have nothing solid to put into place. There's nothing there that's steady and consistent to help them through that storm. It's just sand. And those homes just fall apart. They crumble. Those marriages. But then there are families that are rock homes. Because those are the families that have, they've heard the words, they've learned the teaching. They've developed the beliefs, but the beliefs have become such a part of them that they're living them. They're practicing them. And when the storms come into their home, into their families, and beat against their marriage, and beat against their relationships with their kids, they have the application of what they believe already in place. And ready to practice and live out in that storm. And what a difference it makes. The storm can be exactly the same that hits each family. It can be exactly the same trouble. Exactly the same hardship. It can be a physical illness in this family, same physical illness in this family. It can be a tragic death in this family, tragic death in this family. It can be financial problems in this family, financial problems in this family. It can be exactly the same storm, but when you observe, total different outcome. Totally. Why? Because one home is not practicing what they say they believe. They have built their life on sand. Their home is built on sand. The other has not only believed, but they've put it into practice. It's their life. And they have foundation, something steadfast and solid. Now I'm going to take liberty and I'm going to add a third home that doesn't even come from this text. But after all these years, you love me and you're going to let me do this. Okay? I'm going to say there's a third kind of home. There's the sand home, there's the rock home, and there's the sand rock home. This is the home that decides to have both. To have it both ways. The sand and the rock. And they just mix it together. And they're the ones that decide how to mix it together, how much sand, how much not practicing, and what truths to not practice, and how much to practice, which truths to practice. And they just mix it together, and that's their home. It's not a sand home that doesn't practice what they believe at all. It's not a rock home that practices what they believe. It's a sand rock home. They just mix it and decide what they want and what they don't want in their home. And so the storm comes. The problems come into the home. The hardships come. The difficulties come. And these are the ones that say, well, God has the power to do something to help us here, but I'm not sure He wants to. I'm not sure He cares about us. So they've mixed two different theologies, right? I mean, on one side they're saying God has the power to help us. On the other they're saying, but I don't think He cares about us. So I don't think He will. See, that's sand rock. Or the family, the difficulties come and they say, well, we believe God is our provider. But on the other hand, Dad is saying, but it's taking too long, so I need to do it myself. I can't wait. You see the mixture, the sand rock? God is our provider, but He's taking too long to do it, so I'm going to do it myself. Or we say, oh yeah, I believe God's in control. He's sovereign. He has a purpose. He has a plan. But on the other side, we're saying, I don't like the plan. I don't like the purpose. I'm starting to doubt if there is one. So I'm going to take the bull by the horns and get this family out of this. Or get me out of here. Or something comes in the marriage. And a person says, I believe that God brought us together. I believe that God one day was part of our marriage. But I also believe God wants us, me, to be happy. And I'm not happy. So therefore, see ya. That's sand rock. I believe God brought us together. I believe God was part of this covenant we entered into. But I also believe, falsely, that God wants me to be happy all the time. And I'm not happy, therefore, I'm going to do what I want. You see the idea? We have so many sand, rock, mixture homes and marriages. And we pick and choose the things we're going to believe about God and apply during our troubles. So you got the sand homes. They're not putting into practice anything that they say they believe. And they will handle their storms accordingly and crash. You have, praise God, the families that are living what they believe, their theology. And so when the storms come, it's hard, but they practice what they believe, and they're able to stand through it. And then you have those many homes that choose the mixture, and they decide what we believe and what we're not believing, what we're going to practice and what we're not. And when the storms come, it is a confusing mess. So, let me close by applying, this is the way to wrap up the series. Let me close by applying the previous three messages to today's idea of storms that come in the family and the marriage. The first Sunday we talked about troubles in the presence of Jesus. So today, just remember, even if everybody in your home is a Christian, Jesus is there all the time, He is present, you're going to have trouble. There are going to be difficulties in your marriage. There are going to be difficulties in your family relationships. Things are going to come into your family that are so hard. So hard. But remember, the presence of Jesus does not mean that never happens. The presence of Jesus means He's there when it happens. And He's there through it all. The second Sunday, Anxiety, worry, the monster. There are some homes where it's like when you go to their home to visit, they should have a sign on the door. Worry zone. Enter at your own risk. Anxiety lives here. Beware. Because people in those homes have allowed anxiety and worry to just take over. And it affects the whole environment of the home. And when troubles come, the storms come to that home, how do you handle those troubles if you are just under the bondage to anxiety and worry? That doesn't help anything. And then last week we talked about the wrestling and the embracing. And if you're going through storms in your home right now, difficulties in your marriage or with the kids, and you're wrestling, you're wrestling with God, wondering why He's letting this happen. You're wrestling with what you believe about God and what He can do and could do. And there's questions, the whys and the hows and the how longs and, you know, all those questions we wrestle with. It's okay to wrestle with those because it is hard. But wrestle honestly. Wrestle sincerely. Wrestle respectfully. But by all means, at some point, come back to embracing. You can embrace the very truths, the very beliefs that you might be wrestling with. Embrace them. Embrace the presence of God. Embrace His control. Embrace His purpose. Embrace that He knows what's going on. Embrace that He is working. Even though you've wrestled with those ideas, get to the point where you embrace them as you continue through the hardship. And those are the times, friends, when we are going to discover what our theology really is. Whether it's in the home and marriage, or whether it's just as individuals, it's at midnight when we really discover our theology and what we believe about God, who He is, and what He's capable of doing. Somebody might say, well, what if I have gone through something hard, or I am right now, and I'm discovering that my theology is pretty weak and it's pretty lacking? I have to be honest, this trouble that I'm going through right now has really revealed something about me. My theology is lousy. My theology is so weak, and it's so lacking. What do I do? What do I do? This might sound crass, but here's my answer to you. Figure it out. Figure your theology out. Get in the Word. Seek God. Get to know God. Figure it out. Get a theology. And let it become part of your heart, part of your very fabric of thinking. So that the next time you go through a storm, your theology won't be lacking. And it won't be weak. Because you've taken the steps to develop a strong theology. And that doesn't happen sitting out on your deck looking at the sky. If you're going to develop a theology that works when the storms come, you need to put some effort in. You need to pursue this God. You need to learn about Him and develop that theology. There was a young boy named Chris, 9 years old. Very athletic. He had dreams. Dreams of being a star someday, and very possible. Everybody around thought, even as a 9-year-old, there was great possibilities for Chris. But he experienced a storm when he was 9 years old. He was diagnosed with a severe case of mononucleosis. And it was so bad that the doctor ordered him to stay indoors, for an entire summer. Quarantined. And of course, he played Little League, he was an athlete, he had these dreams, he was just an energetic 9-year-old boy. And it discouraged him. He ended up being depressed. He ended up being angry that this was happening. And it was affecting the whole family. The whole family. But Chris's dad was a man of faith. Chris's dad had his theology figured out. And he knew that as difficult as this was, and as sad as this was for his son, Chris, because he had the dreams too, as far as athletics were concerned, he knew God had a purpose. There was a plan. There was something going on. God was in control. And so the story goes on to say that Chris's dad resolved to find something good in the whole situation. He happened to own a music store. So he brought one of the guitars home from his store. And he gave Chris the guitar. And every morning he would teach his son a new chord or technique and had him practice. And lo and behold, Chris started enjoying playing the guitar. And all summer he practiced and practiced and practiced. By the end of the summer, Chris was playing Willie Nelson songs, like Willie Nelson plays them. And he began to write some songs of his own. And when this summer of being stuck inside was over and he was back to health, he began to use his newly found talent with the guitar and music to help in his church and lead worship and those types of things. It's been a number of decades since then, but today Chris Tomlin is known as one of the top worship songwriters in the world. And we sing his songs, and they help us worship God. But it started as a 9-year-old who went through this storm that looked like his dreams were totally gone. And it also started with a father who had a theology and lived it out to help his son, because he knew God had a purpose, God had a plan, God had not deserted his son. And as a result, we have the gift of Chris Tomlin. Friends, storms are going to come to your family. Storms are going to come to your marriage. You live in this world. But get your theology figured out, what you believe about God, who he is, and what he's capable of. Because in those storms, you will be called upon to gather your family and maybe not go to the lowest level of the house and huddle together, but you will be called to lead your family through that storm. And it better be leading them away on a rock, because you have a theology and you have beliefs about God that you will practice in your family storms. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are our refuge. You are our strength. You are a very present help in time of trouble, no matter what that trouble is. Thank you that as Almighty God, you are with us. We have nothing to fear. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You are in control. You care. You never stop caring. You have a plan. You have a purpose. You can be trusted. Father, help us to stop trying to control ourselves. Help us to cease striving, to be still and know that You are God. And even if we wrestle, Lord, with what's going on in our family, bring us to that place of embracing You and what we believe about You. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.